And we're back to talk about Thanksgiving dinner. I am delighted to welcome back to the show, it's such an annual tradition, Stacy Pearl. She's executive chef at Walter Burke Catering. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Always great to have you. And we have a special guest this year. I'm just delighted to have back on the air Susan Purdy. She's a cookbook author, and we have talked on this program about the book Pie in the Sky, which is about high altitude baking, and it's certainly relevant to Thanksgiving this year. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here again.
So Thanksgiving dinner is a kind of evolving thing, but we have a very special Thanksgiving this year.
Yes, this year, we're all lucky to be alive. It hasn't happened since 1888. We will be celebrating Thanksgivica. What is Thanksgivica? Thanksgivica is one of those rare moments when Thanksgiving and Hanukkah happen on the same day. Now, you might be wondering, how could this ever happen? Well, in short, the starting date of Hanukkah changes every year because it's on the Hebrew calendar, while Thanksgiving is on the Gregorian calendar, and this year they just collide, thus creating Thanksgivica.
Right, it's like one of those meteor strikes.
Exactly, and the next time this happens, chances are we won't be here, it will be 70,000 years from now.
So we better get it right.
It's
right
a really
now.
Interesting opportunity to combine two traditional holidays into something new and exciting. For those of you that are bored with Thanksgiving, welcome to Thanksgivica 2013.
Now, what are the culinary implications of Thanksgivica?
Schmaltz. Think about Thanksgiving. You know, you're thinking turkey. That's your tradition. And I like to stick with traditions. And I would say the biggest tradition of Hanukkah would be probably potato latkes. And so what immediately comes to mind is how could we combine the two? And there's all kinds of people in all kinds of websites coming up with great combination recipes. And, you know, just off the top of my head, you could think about, we stuff a turkey. Well, we could make a potato pancake stuffing. We could crust the turkey with potato pancake latke batter, which is shredded potatoes. We can stuff the turkey with a challah stuffing, which is traditional Jewish braided bread. There's all kinds of ways we could combine the two. You know, we could think about cranberries and carrots, which a lot of times you make a carrot simis, which is a sweet carrot dish. There's all kinds of ways to combine them. And so I've been sort of collecting recipes and trying to think how you could change this holiday into something new and different. And Susan also has some great ideas how you could create some pies combining the two.
Right. I think we can do, as a usual, traditional pumpkin pie. You could make a pumpkin cheesecake pie. The pumpkin pie, the crust is really the altitude problem, but the pumpkins, you can buy, you know, your canned pumpkin, or you can add chopped nuts to it. You can add topping on top, which would be caramel even on top.
What about
cranberries? Well, I like to save the cranberries for my pecan pie. The thing about pecan pie is that it's always too sweet, and and cranberries are too tart. So if you chop up some cranberries while they're still very hard, preferably frozen, and throw them into your pecan pie, that's a good tradition. Or adding some chocolate in the bottom of your, or even chopped chocolate onto your pecan pie is another. But in altitude, the only thing that's really a problem with pies is to make the crust a little bit more moist so it doesn't get so crumbly. Sometimes you have to bake your pie a little longer.
So, Susan, sometimes when I make pie dough and I follow a basic recipe, it just doesn't stick together. Why is it?
That is an altitude problem, and you're probably using a sea-level recipe and just a little more moisture,
a little more water,
or even a little fruit juice.
So for those of you who are challenged at high-altitude baking, pies are a great way to go.
Pies are a lot easier, and in fact, don't even try and roll out your pie crust, but put the lump of dough, make it a little moister so it holds in your hand like clay, and then press it into your pie plate with your fingers.
Really?
If you can do that, forget about the rolling pin. If it doesn't feel comfortable to you, it saves a lot of angst at the holidays, especially.
But I only use my pie rolling pin once a year.
You want to use it. Well, then you can use it. But if you have trouble, you can roll your pie dough between a couple of layers of plastic wrap or wax paper.
So even though we're always talking about keeping it traditional, by putting two traditional holidays together, all of a sudden you have an innovative
menu. And cranberries are the good way to bring both together. Mm-hmm. In my family, if we don't have a pecan pie and we don't have an apple cranberry pie, we don't have a holiday. And then there's my mother's pumpkin chiffon. So my sister, everybody wants their favorite. And I think in Thanksgiving and in Hanukkah, you're going to have your favorite, so you have to mesh them.
And you know, one thing that we always talk about is planning this meal, because a lot of people have like one oven and they can't figure out how to get it all in. Something like a pie, can you make that in advance?
You can make it in advance and make it a day ahead. You can even make some of things like the cranberry a cranberry apple pie or even the crusts you can make ahead and freeze.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that done way ahead, which is a really nice thing. Bring it out the night before and you don't have to do anything except let it sit. And be sure it's covered with Saran, because in this temperature, in this dry atmosphere, you get things dry out fast, mm-hmm. and they'll crumble. Mm-hmm. So just keep things covered well.
Right.
Well, one thing that I think is pretty easy to do, if you make your pie in advance or you have all the ingredients ready and you put them together at the last minute, mm-hmm. when you take the turkey out of the oven, you can just put the pie right in, and while you're eating and then going into a stupor and all that, by the time you're done with that, your pie will be ready and it'll be hot.
And there's nothing better than warm pie.
Yeah.
Especially a little vanilla ice cream.
Should we go back to the beginning of the meal?
No, I think we should do it backwards this year.
Okay, let's do it backwards.
Start dessert first.
So we've got dessert.
We like dessert first.
We also should say, I think you always have to have whipped cream with your dessert.
Oh, you do. Okay, well, there
you
go.
And you know what? There's no excuse to go to the store and buy a can. There's absolutely
nothing. You have to do your own whipped
cream. It's so easy to make whipped cream, and everybody really appreciates it. And you could flavor your whipped cream with some brandy or some rum or some cinnamon.
You know what I like to do? A little bit of bourbon and then grate a little fresh ginger on top. Or even a little finely chopped up candy ginger.
Nice.
Ginger
whipped
cream is wonderful
serving,
with every flavor pie.
Even if you're not making your pie, and also for those of you who feel really challenged by desserts and you have a lot of guests, ask your guests to bring the desserts. And if you don't think they could bake either, tell them where to go to get desserts. There's a lot of good places in town you could buy pies.
That's
if you don't want to make it, they bring the pie, you do the whipped cream, you're still the hero.
That's true. The other thing
Especially is to use a pie crust.
Yeah. Just put a little touch and it looks like it's yours.
Right.
You can say it's yours.
Right.
You made a contribution.
Right.
You can buy your pie crusts too that are ready made. And they're very good. If throw in your filling, throw in some fruit, put it in the oven as Mary Charlotte suggests. Then you've sort of made it, and nobody knows the difference.
You know what also you can do, if you're feeling really lazy, is just take a bunch of Oreos and stick them in the food processor.
No.
And then
what?
You
press them into
and
the...
And you just press them in. It makes a great crust.
It's a chocolate crust. Yeah, that's a very good
idea. Oh, my goodness. And what do you put inside as the filling?
How about key lime pie?
Hey, I have that's a wonderful one, and I have another. You can just buy your best quality vanilla ice cream, flavor it, pack it into that,
ice
and freeze
pie.
It, and make ice cream pie. Make ginger vanilla ice cream.
So our gluten-free, lactose-free friends and neighbors are not going to be able to participate in all of these things. But for all of these desserts, there's always ways you can do it. For example, if you're gluten-free, I've actually gone gluten-free this year, and it's helped me a lot health-wise. And so what do? You take your apples and you put them in the bottom of the pan without a crust.
It's a cobbler without the crust.
Make the crust on top and make it out of whatever combination of cereal or granola that you like.
We have some excellent gluten-free bakeries here in this town.
There are. Yep. Well, the Treetop, Maria's.
Treehouse is excellent. Revolution is excellent. And, sometimes you can go and get some day-old gluten-free bread and use that for your stuffing.
And you can use it for your crumble. If you mix it with some cinnamon and a little sugar,
use that on top of your fruit. It's not as difficult to get good products as it used to be. People have gotten really good at that kind of baking.
And it's so much better than it was even
a few years
ago.
Yeah, it used to be kind of mucky and gluey.
And there are very good and also very bad baking flour substitute mixes that you can buy. I recommend King Arthur baking flour substitute. It's a box. And you can mix that with whatever liquid is healthy for you, like an almond milk. Just to moisten it, or fruit juice, and throw in some chopped nuts.
I was just going to say, you always have the option, if you want to do a pie like that, of a crushed nut crust.
Yeah, crushed nut is good.
Right.
Crushed
pecans,
nuts or cookies.
Walnuts, a little butter, crush it in, make your pie. I do that a lot for a lot of times.
And they sell
folks.
A lot of gluten-free crackers instead of cookies. And if you want to add sugar or not, you can crush the crackers as well. Just butter the bottom of your pie plate, crush them in, and you've got your...
And make sure they don't have seaweed in them.
Seaweed are not so good for Thanksgiving. No,
not so much.
Yuck. That's just yucky.
You want a sweet, we're talking dessert here.
Are good for some things.
They're salt. They're really savory, though. They're good with some fish.
But that brings up this thing we were just speaking about a moment ago, this new trend of salty and sweet.
That's good.
Which we really like.
We do.
And, salt brings out the flavor of
so many things.
It
brings out sweetness.
Salted chocolate truffles are very trendy. Things dipped in chocolate, sprinkled with fleur de sel.
And whatever kind of pie you make, sprinkle caramel on top of that. Drizzle caramel
salted
on top.
Caramel, and caramel, can't go wrong.
And put some salt on top.
So these are all kind of slight cheats, but not really.
Mm.
If you know how to do it, and you'd say, the thought of making a, lemon meringue pie, it'll take me all day, you could whip together one of these desserts in no time at all.
Yeah.
I'm
going to give my little secret, which I give every year, so I guess it's not really a secret any longer, but if you're making your apple pie, one thing you can do is you cut up the apples first before you make the crust, and while you're making the crust, soak the apples in rum and brandy, and then drain it, and either throw it out or drink it, and then that's your apples for the apple pie.
Would that be considered maceration?
It would be considered, and it's also, Mary Charlotte, an excellent idea for high-altitude apple pie, because if you're using an apple that happens to be too hard, it will take too long for it to bake in the oven before the top crust will overbrown. So if you pre-cook your apples in whatever booze you have, which sounds wonderful, and by the way, drink it, don't throw it out, then put it in your shell, your pie will bake in a perfect amount of time because the apples have in fact been pre-cooked a little bit. Great idea.
So have we done dessert?
I think dessert's covered.
Okay. So let's go...
Sides.
Backwards to the side dishes.
Okay. Side dishes. We love.
Side dishes.
Now, so, Stacey Pearl prohibits salad.
There's no place in
green
for salad
veggies
in this
here.
Meal. However, a vegetable that I think is really underrated, and I push it every Thanksgiving, is Brussels sprouts. Because they're a vegetable, like we're thinking also about oven space, that you could do at the last minute. And what I like to do with them is shred them. I just put them in my food processor and make almost a slaw out of them. Hmm. And then you take a saute pan, you saute up some onions, some garlic, a little fresh herbs, and then you saute them, put some lemon juice on them, throw some nuts in them, and they're done. They take 5 minutes to cook.
Oh, my goodness.
They
that is
look
brilliant.
Great. They're green. You could also shred some carrot in. It's nice to think of side dishes that don't need to go in the oven.
Yeah.
And it's fresh tasting. A lot of people just, you say Brussels sprouts, and they just make a terrible face. Because people notoriously have overcooked them, and then they get this nasty smell. But if you saute them, it's a great vegetable. I always try and come up with a vegetable that's going to take me 5 minutes. You could julienne zucchini or squash. Also, saute it in a pan. If you get your vegetables out of the oven, that leaves room for your turkey and your potatoes and your stuffing and all the big stuff. So that's my favorite. I mean, you could do peas. Hey.
My Brussels sprouts, I always roast. I have to say, I'm a little more the old school, but roasting caramelizes
delicious.
Them with
and
hot
Mary
high oven, 400, a little oil, a little bit of salt.
And what
again.
Goes great with Brussels
Very
sprouts?
Very quick.
Bacon.
Yeah.
Oh, a little bacon in the pan, and that
Can't
gives
go
you the
wrong
fat.
With bacon.
You know, I have to say, a couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine said, I have something for you. I think you'll like it. And it was a tube of bacon toothpaste.
Oh, come on. That's the only thing I haven't heard of made of bacon. Unbelievable.
I haven't tried it yet.
Bacon chocolate, bacon ice cream, I've had that.
Right, but, right. No.
Yeah, I mean, bacon, and the thing is, so for example, with your Brussels sprouts, you could saute or even brown the onions in bacon grease.
Absolutely.
And then add the Brussels
Absolutely.
Sprouts.
Absolutely. Some of the other sides, I'm trying, you know, I've been cooking Thanksgiving for a long time, as you guys have as well, and so I'm always trying to come up with something that may be a little different, and there's a few grains on the market right now that people are starting to use, and one of them is farro. Mm-hmm. And farro cooks in 5 minutes. It has it's
nutty.
A fatter brown rice. It's delicious. You could use it in stuffing. You could use it as a side dish. It's a great alternative. It's super nutritious. You could always use quinoa. You don't have to go with rice and potatoes if you don't want to. If you want to lighten it up and add some whole grain goodness to it.
Chop some nuts and
I love farro. I think it's a great grain that people are just starting to get familiar with
using. I've never heard of it. Where's it from?
F-A-R-O.
It's from Trader Joe's.
And by the way, since we're combining holidays, it's ancient and biblical.
There you go.
So you're bringing your holidays together again.
What if you were to take farro and add some quince, a biblical fruit, and make a little peel-off out of it as a really nice side dish, and you could throw some carrots in it, and then we're back to Thanksgiving.
And we're back to biblical. The other thing is that Hanukkah, for this purpose, Hanukkah is all about oil and about the light of...
8 days of
light. 8 days of light, the light in the... And the oil lamps burned longer than they thought. So all the things, all the foods that are served traditionally have to do with oil or with fats, which is why Stacey mentioned schmaltz.
Which gets us back to schmaltz,
gets
one
us
of my
back
favorite
to schmaltz.
Subjects.
But if you're using, for instance, in your pilaf, you could use a nice light olive oil. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people don't want to always cook with butter, but we recommend always butter. But in this case, maybe always schmaltz. But,
right.
But a little light oil
well, butter
would be
and
good.
Baking.
Butter and baking.
So does everyone know what schmaltz is? Schmaltz
Define
is rendered
schmaltz.
Chicken fat.
Chicken fat.
So you take all the little bits of fat, you put it in a saucepan, you put a flame very, very low, you throw some onions, and slowly the fat releases and you get this golden liquid and you keep pouring it off. And it's like ghee.
It's just like ghee.
Yeah.
Without the onions. It's just like ghee.
Yeah, right.
You don't need
onions. And it has a very high temperature so it doesn't burn. It's great to saute. It's traditionally what you would use to make...
Chopped
matzo
liver.
Balls, you know, things like that. When I was a kid, we used to spread it on rye toast, and I live to talk about it. It's delicious. And I have this great recipe for a brioche that's made with schmaltz that's unbelievable.
Wonderful.
Now, you have to do this yourself. It's not like you can go buy it.
You can buy it. I don't know out
in
here.
New York,
in New York,
buy
you can buy it.
You can probably buy it online. Yeah.
If you Google chicken
in a jar. Stacey's looking skeptical.
Because I bought it once and it was
feh. Oh.
Bernice said, this is not schmaltz.
All right. Well,
the
but
best schmaltz, I must say, because the chickens now in the supermarkets, they breed them, so they have no fat under the skin.
You can't.
But if you buy organic chickens and then you trim them, it makes the most delicious schmaltz. It's just absolutely, and it has a great shelf life in your fridge.
Now, we're talking to Stacey Pearl and Susan Purdy about Thanksgiving dinner. I think this would be a good time to talk about the turkey. And once again, we always do this the day before Thanksgiving. So, ladies and gentlemen, you have already bought your healthy, organic or natural turkey.
Which are now available everywhere.
Everywhere.
They used to be, you had to go to special fancy stores. They're everywhere now. And I don't always recommend organic, but I must say, in terms of poultry, you will taste the difference from the first bite. It is so much better of a product. The skin is different. The texture of the meat is different. The density of the meat is different. So it's worth it. And you're not going to have to pay that much more for them, quite honestly.
May I recommend something at this point, too? Remember to take out that funny little bag that's in the middle of the turkey that might have the neck and the body parts in it. I have had many phone calls after turkeys were roasted saying, Mrs. Purdy, inside there was this funny thing. What do I do with this thing that was inside after they've roasted the turkey? So take it out
first. Those are parts to your gravy. So at this point, on Wednesday, your turkey should be defrosted already.
That's right.
Take out the bag and make gravy with it.
And you also, you don't really want to, you know, if you haven't done it already, you're going to have to force defrost it. But what you really want to do is defrost it in your refrigerator over a number of days. That's the safest way to do it.
Now, another thing that can be done with the giblets that are inside the turkey, besides making the gravy, is you can sauté them and put them in your stuffing.
That's a good idea.
Absolutely.
And the ones that look a little bit fibrous or unappetizing,
or
you
discolored,
can feed them to the dogs.
Oh, yeah, the dogs love them. Yes. Yeah. Yes. In my kitchen, everybody fights over them. So they do, you know, if, you know, what I always try and do is make some stock, because I'm, you know, I might be making 40 quarts of gravy this year, or 50 or more than that. So I need as much turkey flavor as I can get. So I collect all those parts and I make a big pot of stock. And then what I'll do is a few days beforehand, I'll buy just chicken bones and put up big pots of stock. So I have a turkey chicken base for my stuffing. If you're not going to do that, that's fine. Still cook your parts. You can throw a little bit of like chicken bouillon in there, some bay leaves, some celery, carrots, onions. Make some stock, because that's what you want to use when you're moistening your gravy, when you're moistening your stuffing, and as the base for your gravy. So it's not that hard to do it. I would say use those
parts. Do you have a favorite brand if you were buying a canned or pre-made chicken or turkey stock?
I kind of use Knorr.
Knorr. I like that. But that's a dry little tablet.
Commercially, you get a paste, kind of, and mm-hmm. it's MSG-free, and it's has roasted vegetables
that's
in it.
That's K-N-O-R-R, and
yes.
It is available
and
in the supermarket.
And it's a European brand, and I kind of like that.
Cubes
There's
too.
Also a product out that I really fancy called Better Than Store-Bought.
I like that.
Which is an organic chicken base.
In a jar.
In a jar. You have to keep in your fridge. That's excellent. It's mm-hmm. really excellent. Yeah.
So, stuffing, we've started to talk about a little bit. You can cut up bread, you can use rice. There's a very nice thing also at Trader Joe's called, I think it's called wild rice mix.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
it has like three or four colors of
types
of rice.
I don't know what
beautiful.
All is in there. I'm sure it says on the package, but it's quite flavorful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I actually mix it with miso soup and eat it for breakfast on a fairly regular basis. And it's pretty good. You'd make some, keep in your fridge, but that would
That's
make a good stuffing.
That's gluten-free too.
Mm-hmm. That's gluten-free too. All of your rice, brown rice, wild rice, any kind of rice that you use for your stuffing is going to be gluten-free. And then you can cut up any kinds of fruits that you've got
stuffing
left
over. Stuffing is where you get creative.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like baking where baking, you can't just throw anything in because it might not work.
You can throw it under a pie crust. But it's
stuffing,
apart from
you know,
that, yes.
A lot of people like, especially
sausage
because as it's a heavy meal, you know, it's nice to cut in if you're going to have a sausage or an oyster stuffing.
Oyster
a
nice is good.
Cut in some fruit. It helps kind of break it up.
There's your cranberries
you know,
again.
Cranberries, dried apricots.
I use apricots and
caramelized
apples.
Caramelized apples, caramelized pears.
And those rock hard raisins that have been in your cupboard for
so
years.
Soak them in your bourbon again.
You don't even have to soak them. You just put them in. By the end of the cooking
the
time, they're done.
The turkey moisture will do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I also like cornbread stuffing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And cut
that
up. Make it, let it get a little stale. And
right.
Then you
make
can
it a few
that.
Days ahead. Let it sit on the counter until it's hard. Mm-hmm. Cube it up.
Cube it.
Toss it in some butter and oil. Sauté it.
And also that bourbon that you were going to use in your pie, in your apple pie, you can put some of that in the stuffing or any number of sweet liquors and things like that.
The stuffing needs to be moist. And, of course, we have to have the in the bird, out of the bird conversation. A lot of people...
I do both.
You do both? A lot of people think one is safe, one isn't safe. I tend to not stuff it because of the way we prepare our meal, the way we cook it, and then we reheat it sometimes.
But I have a vegetarian daughter, and if you have vegetarian and meat-eating family, then you do need to do both.
Well, and one thing,
and be conscious of the stock you're using, because you can't use a turkey stock then for your stuffing.
Yeah, you put the giblet one in the turkey, and then you cook the vegetarian one outside the turkey, and otherwise they're identical.
And just remember that once you stuff a turkey, it takes longer to cook.
Much, yes.
Okay, and when it comes out of the oven and you're eating leftovers, you need to take care of it. You can't just leave it on the counter. Because that is just basically, it's a medium for growing bacteria.
It's a Petri dish, that.
So if your turkey is stuffed, you're eating it, you're putting it away. Put it in the refrigerator, chill it down, or else it's not going to be safe.
Well, you take the stuffing out of the turkey before you serve it and put it in a bowl and then keep it separate because it can't stay in the turkey.
And because we have more people than will fit what's stuffed in the turkey, I always do a side dish. And I like that because everybody's really into the crispy bits.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it in a dish, sprinkle a little extra butter on the top or schmaltz, you get crusty bit all over the top. And then there's no fighting at the table.
What do you put on the outside of the turkey before you put it in the oven?
It's important to put something on it. And you have a lot of options. Now, in our house, we do the classic salt, pepper, garlic, paprika. That's the way my mom does it. And my mother, not known for her cooking, is known for her turkey. And that's the rub that she does, and it's great. And then I always put about 2 inches of water in it. And then the most important thing as far as I'm concerned is basting. I put it in the oven, and every 30 minutes I take it out. I use my cheap plastic baster, and I take the juices from the bottom and pour it over the top. This keeps the turkey really, really moist. And then that's part of also goes into my gravy. So some people do a balsamic sage rub. Some people do smoked paprika. Some people do just lots of fresh herbs and oil. It doesn't actually matter, but it's a waste not to do something because it makes the skin delicious and the flavor soak in. What do you put on your turkey,
I put
Susan?
Salt and pepper and dried thyme sprinkled all over it, and sometimes a little bit of olive oil as well, and I rub that in. Sometimes under the skin I'll put fresh herb leaves,
right,
like sage.
Right, you can put your hand between
right
the meat
between,
and
you
skin,
can reach
which
under
is very nice.
Without breaking the skin if you start at the neck or where there is already a hole. But I do always put, I rub it with butter, actually, all over, and then I put my salt and pepper and sprinkle it with thyme. I always do a thing where I, as my mother did, I start with the turkey breast down so that the moisture as it's cooking drips into the breast. I have a rack, which is a very broad spread V-shaped rack.
Yes, I know that rack.
But it's, you have to use either rubber gloves or turkey grabbers, or be careful when you flip your turkey. But about for maybe an hour of the cooking time, I let it stay breast down. And sometimes I cover the whole thing with tin foil.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite sealed in, but covered.
Just so it doesn't get
so
too
it doesn't
dark.
Over-brown.
Right.
Then I flip it breast up. I take off my tin foil. The tinfoil keeps the moisture in, and it's sort of self-based. It prevents me from having to do what Stacy does, which is baste it itself.
Right. I like baste.
And then I baste at the end also to get a nice brown
skin. Have you ever done a turkey? My mom used to have this thing. She abandoned it, where you do it in a bag.
I've heard about it. I've never tried it.
They have these special turkey. I don't quite
understand. You can buy a bag.
You put the whole thing in a bag. I guess it's self-based.
It's self-moisting. Yeah. Self-sealing, self-moist.
I like to get my hands in. I like to touch the turkey and, hello, how are you? Move it around. Spread the stuff
But they're heavy for some people. Sometimes
they
it's
are
not
heavy.
So easy to move around. I buy a 20-pound
turkey. And you know
what else?
So that's a good point. So you buy a 20-pound turkey. So what about people that live by themselves or have
turkey
one or
breast
people?
Is a wonderful
turkey
solution. Just the breast.
Right.
It is fine. It's delicious. And they're bred to be moist today. They're not
And it doesn't
as dry
take that long to cook. But you know what? There are these turkeys in the supermarket that are like injected with stuff. I would avoid those.
Yeah.
You know, there's just no reason.
They have so much added liquid.
Yeah.
Another thing that you can do is put bacon grease on them. And another thing you can do is drape them with bacon.
You're a bacon girl.
Yeah. The only thing is when you drape them with bacon, sometimes the bacon burns.
Uh-huh.
So I haven't done it so much in recent years.
You could set a piece of tinfoil over your bacon for a while and let the bacon fat melt out, actually, before you browned it.
And you want to get that nice, heavy, thick-cut, fatty bacon.
Should we talk about a vegetarian main course option?
Yes.
So I have lately been making this really, really delicious lentil loaf, and it looks like a pâté, and it has lentils and walnuts. It has a little oats to keep it together, and then there's a layer of spinach in the middle. Mm. I think it's important, and especially here where there are so many vegetarians and people with special food needs, that you can't just say, oh, you could eat everything but the turkey, because that's kind of not fair to them, even though I think...
You need other stars at the meal.
You know, they need their own main course. So something like, and you could go online, there's millions of recipes, there's some kind of really nice vegetable loaf that has almost meat loaf kind of consistency.
Portobello mushrooms added to that, give it a real meaty flavor.
Or a mushroom terrine or something, you know.
Or a strudel.
There's a number of things you can do, you know, which will go with the meal, but they won't feel like the stepchild.
That's important.
Very important. And there are so many resources online. If you Google vegetarian Thanksgiving, you'll get all kinds of options.
But avoid that tofu loaf thing. That is just awful.
Okay.
There's like this fake turkey tofu loaf that I've tried a number of times, and they should just burn those recipes.
Potato gratins are a good idea for that, too. You know, slicing sweet potatoes into a gratin dish. Sweet potatoes with apples. I do that with a lot of butter and some herbs. Some people put cheese on top or use plain white potatoes, but whatever blend of potatoes, and that's another vegetarian, or even tomatoes and whatever vegetables, fresh vegetables, carrots, sweet potatoes, anything that you want to combine and bake it in a gratin dish, then you can brown the top, get some more crusty bits. But you do need some stars. Another one I do is acorn squash. I cut in half.
Oh, that's always
and
good
I meant to
stuff.
Peel off, like you do, with farro or with quinoa and with chopped nuts and herbs. And that looks very beautiful, and you can sprinkle something on top.
So we're going backwards this year for no particular reason except that we wanted to start with Susan Purdy, who's a high-altitude baker. And let's talk now that we've gotten to the end of our meal, which is the end of our show, which is the beginning of our meal. Let's talk about appetizers.
Well,
your friends are coming over, or you're going over to somebody's house, and you want to have something to do before the turkey comes out of the oven.
Well, if we're still thinking about this Thanksgivica, that's the perfect place to start with some potato latkes. And potato pancakes.
But make them little for an appetizer.
Right, and they don't need to be made out of potato. We make zucchini latkes. We make shredded carrot latkes. They could be served with a lovely homemade applesauce, some sour cream or mascarpone if you want to be fancy.
And I put cranberries in my applesauce. So there you have your blend again.
So now you've got a blend of two things. That's always good. I think something that's, it's always nice to have some nuts. Maybe you could make some spice nuts. I think you need to keep your appetizer simple. Sometimes, you know, that might be the place for your fresh vegetables. A little crudité platter with some nice homemade hummus or something like that, something light. You know, keep the fats out of your appetizer because the meal is heavy, as we all know.
And that's the hummus with a little southwestern or smoked paprika, mild smoked or hot spiced paprika, or even the spiced nuts with the southwestern flair with some spiced, some pepper chips on it would be good.
And drinks.
Yes.
You have to have drinks. And you know what? There's some really, really great... There's a pomegranate cranberry punch that we've been making.
I love that.
That's delicious. If you don't... You know, and you
then
can
you
have
can
people,
add the alcohol
right,
or
you
not.
You can add vodka or not. Something like, and that's great because the kids... You know, if you have children, they could have the same thing you're having just without the alcohol. Mm-hmm. That's always good.
You could buy pomegranate juice, bring cranberry juice. I like to take the cranberry juice, by the way, and I spice it with cloves and cinnamon, and I freeze it. And then I grate it like a granita and serve it in little tiny...
Well, that
dishes.
Sounds refreshing.
Little iced dishes, like a, you know, as a first course, as an appetizer, or between courses while you're waiting for your turkey to come out.
Yeah.
I basically drink mango juice with fizzy water in it.
That's delicious.
Most of the year. And
we just saw a recipe for mango chips, dry mango chips dipped in dark chocolate. That might be a nice little touch for your first course. It's a little desserty, but that's a nice trip.
Nobody's going to turn down chocolate.
Nobody's going to turn that down.
Do you drink wine at Thanksgiving?
Sure.
Some people do.
We do.
And, you know, you can go with like a nice light German, like a Riesling or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, keep it light and fresh because the meal's big.
Prosecco is good with everything.
Can't go wrong with bubbles.
Bubbles, and it's light and white. And
yes, absolutely.
Chilled.
Delicious. Delicious.
Well, I want to thank you both very much for being with us. Stacy Pearl is executive chef at Walter Burke Catering. Susan Purdy is a cookbook author, and we know her here for the book Pie in the Sky, which is all about high-altitude baking, and a wonderful book that gives you recipes at various altitudes, not just sea level or high altitude, but 3,000 feet, 10,000 feet. It's a wonderful book, and I want to wish both of you and all of our friends in Radioland a very happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Enjoy your holiday and your family.
Adios.
Bon appétit.